You know, God created us in His image. And in the greatest way that we are created in the image of God is that we can create life. We can create new life. And mothers, you got the hardest part of that job. And we really honor you. But you know, every year at Mother's Day, and I guess it's because I'm a pastor and for whatever reason, can we remember and let's have a special prayer and a blessing? You know, Mother's Day isn't always the happiest day for all mothers. There are some mothers in our world, maybe even in our families, that you know, their children are waiting for them in heaven and they can't hug them today. There are some moms who can't be with their children today because maybe their child is living a prodigal life. They don't know where that child is. There are some mothers here today who their sons and daughters may be serving our great nation on foreign soil, you know. So let's remember those moms as well as our own moms today. And before we get into our study of the Word, today it's very interesting. We're studying the book of Ruth, and the book of Ruth features probably the most overlooked relationship, and that is the mom-in-law, the mother-in-law. And mother-in-laws usually get a bad rap, but like I always say, my wife's got an awesome mother-in-law. And so we're going to be looking at that today. But before we do, I'm going to ask that you stand, that we're going to pray, and then we'll get into our word today. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, and we thank you for our moms. And Lord, we lift up those moms today that may be struggling a little bit today, and we certainly understand, Father. Lord, today we pray as we sang earlier, and that is that, Word of God, would you speak to us? Lord, the greatest message of the book of Ruth that we're looking at, we sang about in the last song we sang, and that is, oh, how you love us. Father, open our eyes to the love that you have for us, how you would pursue us, Lord God. And Father, speak to our hearts, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And together we all would say, amen. Now you may be seated, and I invite you to open your Bibles to Ruth. We're at the chapter 2. And while you're opening your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2, we got to talk about this goat thing. Remember, I control the length of the sermon. And beside Bucker, wow, Gilbert, wow, how much is in his cup? Because we're gonna, yeah. For Gilbert and Andrew's cup, we'll take checks. So, wow, man. Man, yeah, debit card. We'll fix that up. I have met Paprika the goat, and so she's a nice goat. The problem is she kisses back. That's why I really don't want to be too involved in this. Right, so you guys got your Bibles open to Ruth chapter 2? Let me give you a little refresher. We started the study last week. We're working our way through the Bible. We're going cover to cover. And this is actually an awesome, awesome book. It's a very short book, only 4 chapters. It'll only take us 3 or 4 months, depending on how next week goes. But we're learning some interesting things. And at the beginning of the service last week, I gave you, and we put them on the board, we don't have them for this week, but we gave you 3 things that we need to know, 3 words that we need to know to understand this study. We need to know in our life as a Christian. And that first one was the word redeemed, to be redeemed, to be purchased back, for our debt to be paid. And then we learned, and we'll meet this guy today, what a kinsman redeemer is. And that was explained to us in the book of Leviticus. A kinsman redeemer had 3 qualifications. He had to be a close family member. That's why he's called a kinsman redeemer. He had to be able to have the resources to pay the debt in full. He couldn't borrow money to get you out of debt. And thirdly, he had to redeem you willingly. He couldn't be forced or guilted into it. He had to do it willingly. We also learned in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He fulfilled all of those. He became a man, so he was close to us. He was the only one who had the resources that could pay off our sin debt, right? And he did it willingly. They didn't nail him to the cross. He laid down on the cross and allowed them to nail him to the cross, right? So all that set us up. Well, we have one new word for today. If you'd put that up, it's the word providence. Providence. And most of us think that's a geographical location. Most of you didn't get it. Yeah. Providence is this interesting interesting word that we hear when we study the Bible sometimes. And here's the two definitions in the Illustrated Bible's definition. It is the continuous activity of God in His creation, in the world, in His people, by which He preserves and governs. And the second definition is the continued activity of God by which He directs all things to the ends that He has chosen in His eternal plan. Friends, one thing we can know about our Lord God is He is always at work, even when we don't think He's at work. Even when things and situations happen that we don't understand, we don't like, we can be rest assured that Jesus is in control. Aren't you glad of that? With God, there are no accidents. Now, we can get off and do some dumb things and act in disobedience and mess with His plan, but God is in control on everything. And so we are so grateful for that. So, you guys got your Bibles open to Ruth chapter 2? This is a great story. Let's continue it. Naomi, and that's the mother-in-law, she and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, they find themselves back in Hebrew territory, back in Jerusalem, Bethlehem. You'll recall that Naomi and her husband and her two sons, they left God's land, and they went to Moab, which is always a picture of the world, because there was a famine in the land, and we talked about that. I'm not going to preach that again, unless Gilbert starts giving me another hard time. And the two boys passed away, and then the dad passed away, and left these three gals widowed with no children. The one daughter-in-law stayed while Naomi and Ruth come back home. And where we get in our story is they are now back into the land, right? And now we start getting the picture. And remember, when we study the Bible, we study it historically. We learn what the story is. But we also read it with the eyes of a prophetic value, the theological value. How does it relate to you and I? And it's a beautiful story of redemption. So let's start reading chapter 2, verse 1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth. Your Bible might even say a man of standing, of the family of Elimelech. That was the name of the gentleman who passed away, Naomi's husband. His name was Boaz. So here we meet Boaz, and we see that word, a near relative, this kinsman redeemer. Goel is the name. And remember, with God, there are no accidents. He's a man of great wealth. He's a man of valor, some Bibles say, and that means he was a man of great character. He had great wealth financially, and he had great character. He was a solid man. We also learn, and this is awesome, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, guess who Boaz's mother was, speaking of Mother's Day? Rahab the harlot. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So this is Rahab's son. His name is Boaz. And in this story, he's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Let's look at verse 2. So Ruth the Moabitess, remember she is a foreigner, she said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him who's in sight I might find favor. And she said unto her daughter-in-law, go, my daughter. Now let's talk about this a little bit, because we need to understand how this works. In God's plan, in God's providence, and in His Word, we see that God makes arrangements for people who are having a tough time. Now, I'm going to kind of get on a little bit of a soapbox here, and I promise I won't stay on it too long. But you ever see people on the side of the road that hold signs that say, we'll work for food? Right? That's a good message, but they're not willing to work. The other day, I drove by, and right off I-10 in Litchfield, there's a guy holding a sign, we'll work for food, and there's a lady standing next to him at a sign that said, we'll supervise for snacks. So I thought, you know, team effort here. But God made arrangements in His law for the people who had fallen on hard times, for the poor, for widows, to be taken care of. They didn't have social programs. They didn't have things like that. But they had to work for it. You see, with God, God gives and wants us to give a hand up, not a hand out. Let me give you some scriptures, and this is very important because there are going to be more points as we get through this. For the overhead, would you put Deuteronomy 24, verses 19 through 21? In the law, God was telling the people, when you reap your harvest in your fields and forget a sheaf in the field, so you're bundling everything up, you're getting ready to bring it in, and and you forget to pick one up or it drops or something, you couldn't go back and pick it up. You got to leave it there. For it shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, that the Lord your God may bless who? You in the work of your hands. Now, it's a blessing to the person gleaning, the poor person who needs food, but it's a greater blessing for you. And it goes on to say, when you beat your olive tree, so this is not only talking about wheat and grain and stuff like that, also when you harvest the olives from the trees, don't go over the boughs twice again, but leave it for the strangers and the widows and those. So you can only go through the trees one time. And same with your grapes in the vineyard. You should not glean it afterwards. You can only go through one time. It should be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Also, in other places, I don't have it for the board, but Leviticus 19 and again in Leviticus 23, it also tells us that in a field, now visualize this screen as being a field, okay? And when they harvested it, kind of round the corners. They couldn't harvest the corners. They couldn't go all the way up to the corners. They could just kind of make a rounded thing. Like, say this design here is the field. Well, they could only harvest this part. They had to leave this open. And they had to do that on purpose to help out those in need. Now, please notice the people in need, they had to go get it. It wasn't to be delivered to them. Okay? We are to give a hand up. Why not a hand out? If you don't work for something, it has no value to you. Even before the sin in the Garden of Eden, God made man work. I know children don't like to hear that. But they had to work. Why? Well, we're just wired that way. We don't put value into something that we don't work for. Right? The Apostle Paul says, if a man doesn't work, he don't eat. Now, there's a spiritual application to that that we will see in this also. And that is that, you know, if you're not willing to work at studying the Word and to work at worshiping God, now, we are not saved by works, right? But our relationship's a little bit more special when we invest a little something in it, right? Does that make sense at all? Okay, pass the offering baskets. No, we don't do that here. She's going out to glean because, well, they're broke. They're hopeless. They're widows. They have no money, none of this stuff. So she says, hey, let's go out to glean. Notice she says that I might find favor. Although God's law says, you know, farmers, this is what you're to do. Not all the farmers like doing that. So sometimes, you know, I need favor with the farmer so I can get in there and glean the field. Also, the farmer might hire you if he sees you're a good worker, right? If he says, hey, that person's a good worker, when it comes time for a paying gig, they might approach you. So she says, let me do this. Now, in verse 3 is where we get into the providence of God. Two more statements you might want to write down, and that is a divine appointments and divine placements. We see these principles happening also in the book of Esther. Divine appointments. We learn that famous line in the book of Esther, for such a time as this, God has placed you here, right? Divine placements. Once again with Esther. Esther, for reasons she didn't understand, she found herself in the Miss Persia pageant, and she won. That put her in the palace for such a time as this. Friends, God is working in our lives, and he's got divine appointments for us and divine placements that he puts us where he can use us for interesting things. You guys have heard me share stories of how maybe I'll get a call to a hospital or something, and this happened just a couple of weeks ago. I'm at a hospital, and coming back, I met a family in an elevator that needed some ministering, and God just happened to put me there, right? That wasn't an accident, right? One of the biggest stories in my mind is when I was working at the funeral home up on Thunderbird, I'd have to leave my house at a certain time or else I'd get caught up in traffic, right? Everything's got to be precision. And one day things were going on, I don't even remember, but I was getting delayed, so I was getting frustrated. And I didn't leave for about 10 minutes than I normally leave. And you know how when you always go on the same road every day at the same time, you kind of start recognizing the cars and the people and the stuff like that, and you're like, oh, that truck there, I'm going to cut him off because he's a jerk, and that little Camry's nice. And you know how we do, right? You guys don't do that? Well, I'm driving, and I'm a little bit behind schedule, so I don't recognize the cars. I come upon this accident, and there's cars involved that I recognize. But in God's timing, if I was on time, I might have been involved in that. Right? God's divine placements, God's divine appointments. We see it happening here. Check this out in verse 3. And she left, and she went, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened. The original says her chance chanced. She just happened to come to a field that belonged to this guy, Boaz, who was in the family of Elimelech. Elimelech was her father-in-law, the dad of her deceased husband. She just happened. Of all the fields in Israel, God leads her to this one. Isn't that great? Verse 4, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, now we find out that this is about noontime, so he wasn't there bright and early, but work had started, and he comes in, and here's how he greets his employees. He says, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, and the Lord bless you. Now remember, this is the time of the judges, so it was kind of an uneasy time, but here's the big cheese man. He comes in, and he's blessing them and welcoming them. I used to work for a man that you knew what kind of day you were going to have by the way he addressed you in the morning, right? You say, good morning, and if he says, what's so good about it? It's going to be a long day. But if you say, yeah, it's a beautiful morning, it's going to be a pretty good day, right? Well, when he would ask me, what's so good about it? You know what I said? In my mind, not out loud, because he was the owner. But in my mind, I'm thinking, this is a mortuary. You're walking in under your own power. You're not being pushed in on a gurney. It should be a good day. Right? But anyway, this exceptional man, he's good to his employees, and he welcomes them with a blessing. They welcome him back and all this stuff. And it says in verse 5, and then Boaz said to his servants, he's kind of looking over his operation there, and he says, whoa. Whose young woman is this? Now remember, she is a Moabite, so probably her clothing would be different than the Hebrew girls. She's a little bit younger, we find out, which would be kind of odd because most women her age would be married and doing that kind of stuff. Maybe her hairstyle is a little bit different, being from Moab. So he notices her out there. And verse 6, so the servants, and in this unnamed servant in this story is a picture of the Holy Spirit. You guys know what the Holy Spirit's first name is? We don't, do we? What's the job of the Holy Spirit? To do the work of the boss in the field, right? So this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's in charge of the reapers. Now, it's interesting here, the reapers, of course, the workers, but in all of Jesus' parables that he used reapers, they're always a picture of angels. Kind of interesting. So he's in charge of the reapers here, and they said to him, well, this is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. So everyone knew Naomi, and they knew the story. And verse 7, so she came to me. Now, this is beyond what they had to do to glean, but she comes and she asks them for permission. The servant said, she come to me and said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, even though she rested in the house in the little shelter there. She, you know, took a couple breaks, but she's been working ever since this morning. And so this shows us she's got a great work ethic, right? She's very appreciative. She's coming out. Verse 8, so Boaz now goes out to her. This is very interesting. Jesus came to us, right? Boaz goes to her and he says, listen to me, my daughter. Will you not? Do not glean in another man's field nor go from here, but stay here by my young women. Here we see that he comes out to her and he tells her, don't go and glean in another field. The prophetic picture here is Jesus would tell you and I, you don't need to go anywhere else. You don't need another theological truth. You don't need another testament. You don't need a new esoteric experience. You don't need a new revelation. You need to stay in the field of redemption that I have you. Right? Friends, we just need to stay with Jesus. We need to stay with his word. We need to stay worshiping him. We don't need to add to or subtract from what God has given us, right? We need to make sure we stay in the field. You guys see the picture here? We don't have to try to add to it or do anything like that. So he says, you stay here. Stay by my close young women. Here's a hint for those of us in the prophetic picture here is we need to stay in fellowship with those of like precious faith. Fellowship is very, very important. One of the dangerous things about people who start maybe getting into a situation that they're not comfortable with, things are kind of going south a little bit, is they'll remove themselves from the fellowship of believers. That's the worst thing you can do. Right? We need to gather with those, and I emphasize, of like precious faith. You need to surround yourself with people of faith, people who believe the word of God, who will not judge you and will stand by you no matter what you're going through, right? So he says, you stick close to the young ladies here. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Like he say, you stay where you're just with God. He says, have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? She would have been very open to being abused there. And so he's warned everybody. Once again, this speaks to you and I. We have power and we have authority as believers. The enemy can attack us, but we've got the Holy Spirit of God. We've got the Word of God. We've got the name of Jesus that we act in, right? And we have the fellowship of believers. So we can't let them touch us. He says, I've commanded the men not to do that. And when you are thirsty, you go to the vessel and drink from what the young men have drawn. This is very important. Again, like staying in the field of redemption, only drink of the water that Jesus gives us. Jesus gives us the living water. He said the last great day of the feast, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and I will give you living water, right? That living water is always a picture of the Holy Spirit. Water in the Bible is a picture, that refreshing water is a picture of the Word of God. Friends, we need to make sure that we don't go out trying to get our own water, so to speak, right? And get involved in drinking things. And I'm not just talking physical drinking things. I'm talking about spiritual things. We need to make sure we stay with the water of the Word. Make sense? All right. And so he says, you make sure that you drink from the water that my guys bring to you. The field owner was not responsible for the care and the keeping of gleaners. So this is a great invitation that he's got. Verse 10, so she fell on her face, she bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? I got to be honest with you guys, this is kind of a special verse for me because I sometimes can relate to that. See, this is a picture of you and I. We're all foreigners to God. We're all sinners. And sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'm overwhelmed with the fact that God would care about me. You guys think I'm great. But really, think about it. Do you ever think about John 3:16, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? And it's easy to say, yeah, God loves the world. He created the world, and he cared about the world. But it's weird to think, but God loves me. Why would God care for me? I know what I've done, and I know God knows what I've done, right? But friends, the great message of this whole book, not just the book of Ruth, but the Bible, is God loves you. He doesn't just love us all. He loves us each. Isn't that magnificent? Now, it's the truth. I had a vision. God's got my picture in his wallet. I didn't say it was a vision from God. But God loves us. And she says, why would you find favor in me, a foreigner? I don't know why God chose to love us and send his son Jesus, but he does. And I'm very grateful. Goes on here. We're still in verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 11. And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and you have come to a people whom you did not know. I need to emphasize and make sure we all understand that we are not saved by works that we do. He says, I've heard of the good things that you've done. I've heard about all this stuff that's happening. It's not because we deserve it. It's because of God's grace, right? That's why. In verse 12, he goes on to say, now the Lord repay your work, and a full reward will be given to you by the Lord your God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Now this is a very beautiful picture. It's a picture of a mother hen protecting her little chicks. I've got a couple of scriptures that picture this. I just think these are beautiful. Would you put these up on the overhead? Psalm 17:8 and Psalm 36:7 tells us this. You keep me as the apple of your eye. Have you guys heard that statement before? You know, you're the apple of God's eye. That is awesome. That's how much God loves you. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, that protection that you give us, God. We hide under that. And then 36:7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. We can trust God. And here Boaz is speaking a blessing upon her. God will protect you. God will provide for you. God will take care of you. Isn't that a great promise? And goes on to say here in verse 13, then she said, well, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Earlier she called herself a foreigner, verse 10. Now she calls herself a maidservant. She has received this grace of Boaz. You know, it's very interesting. The servants were told, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, and I tend to do that, but let's get back here. Verse 14, now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come over here and eat the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. Now, once again, he was not responsible to feed these people, but now he's got this relationship with her. And when we in a relationship with God, hey, I once was a foreigner, now I'm your maidservant. Look at the next thing that happens. Communion with God. He says, come and eat with me. He's saying to Ruth, come and eat with me. Now remember, a good Hebrew man would not eat with a Gentile. That's what got Jesus in trouble all the time, right? Eating with sinners and all that kind of stuff. So he says, partake of this bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Dip it in the vinegar. This is the water that satisfies. This is the bread that truly fulfills. Jesus gives us this completion. And it says, so she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate, and she was satisfied. Only God can satisfy us. You know, Solomon was the wisest, richest guy. This guy had everything. And he set his life to find fulfillment. He set his life to just find something from meaning. He did everything that a human can experience. He said, nothing satisfies except God. She ate and she was satisfied, and she kept some back. There's always an abundance with the Lord. Verse 15, and when she rose up to glean, after the break was over, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. She's in a relationship with me now, and she may not know everything to do, but you go a little easy on her, even if she wanders where she's not supposed to. And then he goes on to say, and also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. This deliberate provision. You know, one of God's names is Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. He says, you purposely let some fall that she may glean it, and don't rebuke her for it. Now, the workers of the field here, they could have said, well, wait a minute, Boaz. That's not fair. And it wasn't. But friends, grace isn't fair. We don't deserve it. But God loves us. And so he does that for us. Isn't that great? What an awesome, awesome picture. Now, once again, she had to go out and bring it in, but God has it there for her. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening. She spent the whole day out there, and she beat out what she had gleaned, so she starts processing it there at the field, and this would take some time to get it ready to be used. And she had about an ephod of barley. Let me take just a moment here and talk about this processing. She gleaned all this stuff, but it couldn't be used until it was processed. What's the picture for you and I? Well, the picture for you and I is it's one thing to read the Bible, and we need to do that, but now we got to process it. We got to make it usable. God told Joshua in the first chapter of Joshua, you got to meditate on the word every day, and you got to obey the word. How do we process it? How do we take it from just printed on the paper to being alive and active in our lives? Well, number one, we got to pray. We got to be reading the Bible. We got to be worshiping the Lord together. We need to be fellowshipping with those of like precious faith, right? And we got to be obeying the Word of God. Does that make sense? All of that is what makes this seed, the stuff we are gathering, able to be used. Isn't that cool? Judging from your reaction, that hit me a little harder than you guys. Let's keep going. Running out of time. So she's got about an ephod of barley. You guys know how much an ephod is? How much? Five what? No, ephod. Not a week. From my notes. We don't read my notes. You know I don't know what I'm talking about. An ephod would provide provisions for one person for about 5 days. Right? The point I'm trying to get at here is we have to have it for every day. Every day. Friends, let me be blunt and bold because you guys know that I'm Mr. Couth. If you're just depending on an hour on Sundays for your word fix, you're going to be a very unhealthy Christian. You got to glean it for yourself every day, right? We got to have it. Got to have it. All right, let's keep going. I'm running out of time. I got a lot to say in no time. Verse 18, and so she took it up and she went to the city. And when her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, she brought out and she gave her but what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. So some of this prepared food that she was served for lunch, she saved, and she gives some to her mother-in-law. Here's another great spiritual point. We need to give as we receive. We need to bless others as we are blessed, right? And so she gives some. Now, her mom-in-law is like, man, this is a lot. And says in verse 19, where did you work today? Man, whose field produced this? Where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she said to her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, she said, well, the man's name who I'm worked today, his name is Boaz. Well, now the light bulb goes off in Naomi's mind, and she says to Ruth, blessed be the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness. Well, wait just a minute. Last chapter, she was accusing God of not loving her. She was accusing God of not taking care of her. Now she's blessing the Lord, right? To the living and the dead. And Naomi said, this man is a relation of ours. That word Goel, G-O-E-L, that means the kinsman redeemer. She says, this is our redeemer. We now have hope. We have an opportunity here. Verse 21, Ruth the Moabite said, well, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. So he has welcomed me back, and he's shown this great kindness to me. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that the people do not meet you in any other field. So she's recognizing this is a great deal. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So the barley harvest begun mid-April, April, May. Wheat harvest ended about mid-June. So we got a couple months here. So some time has passed to what's going on here. Just as we get to chapter 3, we're out of time. But the story really gets going here. Would you drop down to chapter 3, verse 18? We're going to read one verse that we call the hook. It'll make you want to come back next week. Chapter 3, they take the relationship to the next level. The book of Ruth is like the ultimate chick flick. Girls love all this stuff. But look at verse 18. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. What's going to happen with Rachel and Ross? I mean, Ruth. Got some Friends fans. With Ruth and Boaz. What's going to happen? You got to come back next week to find out. Isn't this a great story? It's a beautiful picture that illustrates God's great love for us. Our our overwhelming need for a Redeemer. It points to us the picture that we cannot redeem ourselves. The best thing we can do for ourselves is beg for scraps in a fallen world in someone else's field. But Jesus, God so loved us that He sent His Son Jesus to be our kinsman Redeemer. And we're going to learn more about it next week. It's going to be great. Let's stand. Let's get ready to pray. Worship team, join me up here if you would, please. If you're visiting with us, this might be a little bit weirder church than you're normally used to, but that's the youth's fault. No, we just love the Lord, and we're studying His Word the way He gave it to us, and that is in its completion. It's very fascinating to read as history, some interesting character stories and events. But we also glean the spiritual message out of each book, each chapter, each verse. And today the whole message has been, God has sent His Son for you. God has blessings for you. God has provisions for you. God wants you. Friends, whatever situation we may be facing in our life, one time in this chapter we read the words, and was satisfied. It's when she had communion with the Redeemer. Friends, today you can have that spiritual communion with the great Redeemer Jesus and find satisfaction. There is living water for your situation. Some of you might be facing great health challenges. God's got you handled. Maybe you're facing a financial crisis or a relationship crisis. Whatever it is, Jesus has your answer, and He can bring you the satisfaction you need. Amen? And I could talk to you all day about this great Savior of ours, Jesus, but I won't. Thank you all for letting me share the Word of God. What we're going to do now is we're going to pray, and I'm going to open the altars. And if you need prayer, we're going to invite you to come forward. And after our prayer time at the altars, we'll dismiss in a congregational prayer. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for our Redeemer, our Lord Jesus. Father, we too have to have the attitude and the question of Ruth and ask, why would we find favor in your eyes? Father, when we look at the state of this world, the ingratitude of people, Lord, the lack of respect for you, we would ask, why would you care for us, a foreigner? But you don't question us. You just give us the Lord. Boaz gave the invitation for Ruth to join him, and she had to accept it. Lord, today I pray that for every heart here, that they would feel your invitation to join you. Lord, if there's anyone here today who's never accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today they would. Lord, whatever struggle people might have today, I pray that today they would respond to the invitation of your word, Lord, and that they would entrust it to you. Lord, we learned that interesting word today, providence. Lord, would you give us all the assurance that you are working in our life, even when we don't understand it. Father, I just speak now a blessing upon every person here and ask that Holy Spirit, you would move in a powerful way in each heart, each life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's lift our voices in song with the worship team. Let's be in an attitude of prayer, and the fellas and Kelly will join me up here, and we'll open the altars for prayer. If you need prayer, if you'd like prayer, come forward. And then at